Taylor Sterrett is dismissed this morning from foul game. Morning, we're going to be meeting. If we honor our mothers today, the first thing that comes to mind is love. Mother's love for children is something that God has given a woman. In fact, God created women with a nature of love. I was fortunate enough to have a mother who always told me that she loved me. I never once had to wonder whether I was loved by my mom or not. She always did that in what she said and how she acted and how she responded to me. She always showed me her love. And today we're going to learn about being loved in 1 Corinthians 13. The passage says, it's normally used to give understanding of what true love looks like. Even the world takes this passage out of the context and tries to use it in their own way. But we must clarify that the type of genuine love here Paul's talking about in this passage can only be displayed in the follower of Christ. Because this type of love cannot be manufactured in human strength. Only God has the power to transform our hearts and minds. Only He has the power to change our nature in order to bring about this character of love in our lives. This is the fruit that comes from God's Holy Spirit who indwells every follower of Christ. There were a lot of problems going on in the church of Corinth, and we see from this letter that God had a lot of different issues to deal with in the church. But one of those issues was the abuse of spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts that God gives each of His children as they surrender their lives to Him and are filled with the Holy Spirit. Therefore, God used Paul to speak truth into the church about the real issue. You see, as a child of God, the fruit of the Spirit in our lives is more important than the miraculous gifts of the Spirit. See, when a church strives for miraculous experiences, rather than the holiness and character put forth in His Word, there's going to be division and confusion and more failures we see in the church before. Therefore, God reveals the overarching importance of love. One of the powerful fruits that come from God's Holy Spirit. Let's look at verses 1 through 3. We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So let's read 1 through 3. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to the word that has not love, I mean nothing. The word used here for love is agape, which is a love that sacrifices for the good of others. Loving our neighbor as ourselves, showing brotherly affection, a love that only comes from God. It cannot be manufactured without His empowerment. Paul mentions some pretty amazing abilities here, no doubt. Spiritual gifts empowered by God. And it's not that Paul is saying these would be bad things to have. The point here is that these things will have no good effect on the church or anyone else without love being the heart's motive that drives it. Love is the essential thing in all we do. He's pointing out to us here that love is the measure of all things. Preaching God's word without love being the motive of your heart is nothing but just useless thoughts. Giving everything you have without love is nothing but a spectacle or ceremony. Praying, even passionately, without love is nothing more than empty praises. The church of Corinth was divided and struggling and moral failure because what they were doing was being done for personal gain. There was a heart of pride and a heart of competition there. The important characteristic of love was missing in their hearts and minds. It's no wonder Jesus had to ask Peter 3 times, do you love me, Peter? Do you love me, Peter? Peter, do you love me? See, Peter would accomplish nothing for God's kingdom if his foremost love was not for Jesus alone. The same goes for all of us. How many times do we put tremendous effort into something we say we're doing for God and love not be the motive of the heart that drives it? Our love for God and people should always be the motive. It should be the love, our love, that drives us to obey the Lord. It drives us to pursue His mission. The importance of love cannot be overstated. The world around us yearns for God's agape love, love that He places in our lives as He transforms our nature to be like that of Jesus. The world needs to see the love we talked about last week, that love we're supposed to have for one another in the body of Christ, and how that reveals Christ as the Savior to the world. We talked about that last week. The world needs to see and experience the love which you have for those who don't know Christ, as we extend mercy and grace and love on them. The world needs to see the extreme love that we have for God, that is expressed in how we base every decision on what He says, how we're quick to obey His words, how we're quick to live how He wants us to live, no matter what's going on in the world around us, or whoever's doing what around us, it doesn't matter. We're focused on His word and following Him. The world needs to see that kind of love in us. You know, if you're a mom, you can only imagine the impact that your love will have on your children. It's easy to see the difference in a person's life who had loving parents and those who didn't have parents at all. I see it all the time. When a mom cares for and leads and teaches and disciplines and takes care of her children, at the core of her heart is love for children. The impact of hearing your mom telling you over and over and over again that she loves you, it is life altering. It brings peace and security and joy to the heart of a child, even into the heart of an adult. The impact of my mom's love for me still blesses me today. And it gave me a greater understanding of how to love others. May all of us better understand the importance of love and how it should be a motivating factor that drives all we do. Remember, this is agape love. This is only found in God's children who are indwelt by God the Holy Spirit. The impact of this love is powerful. Allow God to transform your heart, to bring about this new nature of love that is the driving force in all that you do. As hard as it is to be a mother, don't grow weary in doing good. In Christ, you can help your children to see and understand the importance of love, what it looks like. The love of people. They see it in you. You're God's representative to your children to show them what love is all about. For all of us as God's children, we have the power and responsibility to show others in the world what this love looks like. Let's look at how this human love is described. And let's contemplate how powerful this should be in the lives of those around us. Look there at verses 4 through 8. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. You know, it's easy to love someone who is loving. Those people who just love you anyway, it's easy to love them in return. But this kind of love is able to be patient with those who have hurt us in some way. Those who are hard to get along with for whatever reason. But even more amazing is that this love is not only patient with one, but seeks to show kindness in return. Think about it. It's patient and kind. This is the kind of love that Jesus displayed after Peter treated him, after he sinned against him. This is the kind of love that we see in Jesus, the way he treated Peter. His example gives us an idea of what this type of love is and the way it's patient and kind. How many times has your mother patient with you? It's been bad. How many times has she returned kindness when you were upset and angry? Because you couldn't have what you wanted, or you couldn't have your way, or you were in the wrong for something that you did. How many times have you as a mom been patient and kind with your child? Because you know they lack an understanding of how they need to grow in different areas of their life. You understand, as God does, their true nature. And not only their nature, but the potential that each of your children have.
Therefore, you know that patience with him and kindness shown in return is needed in order to see what you know your child can become. That's the heart of a mother. This kind of love is also not jealous or envious. It's not boastful or proud. This love rises above a self-focused heart. And this love wants what is best for others. This is a love that looks out for the interests of others above yourself. A love that rejoices with those who are rejoicing. A love who wants to see others blessed by God. Not a love that is boastful in yourself or tries to outdo someone. This is a love that gets excited for others when you see them rejoicing on social media. It's not jealous of you. In love, you're excited that they got more vacation. You're excited they got to buy a new house. You're excited that they're growing in their faith. You're excited of what God is doing in their lives. You're not bitter or jealous. Think of a mother who wants to see her daughter go farther than she did, accomplish greater things than she did, have greater blessing in her life than she does. This is a mother who is so excited about God's blessing in the lives of her children. She's not jealous because she was not able to experience certain things in life. She wants to see her children go farther and farther than she did. This love is also not rude and self-seeking. This is a love that always seeks the good of others. This is a person who is unselfish in their love for others, willing to lay aside their own agendas, willing to lay aside their own time, lay aside their own desires in order to do something good. I see this playing out in a mother's life, always doing for others rather than herself. Laying aside what she wants to do in order for the good of her family. Sometimes powers are working and making sure that everyone's needs are met. Now, children, if you're here and you're with your mom, take note. Take note of your mom's Christ-like life. She's an example, a great example for you in the way of selfless love. I mean, don't you think your mom would like to sit down and have someone put her hand? Don't you think your mom would like to sit down and watch TV too? Don't you think your mom would like to go out with her friends too? If you're old enough and you see your mom's unselfish love before you, not just today, I'm going to say, help her out. Follow her example. Watch what your mom is doing and follow her example. Husbands, take notice as the spiritual leader that God has called you to be and help out your wife. Allow her to have a break, to get some of that much needed rest that she needs. Show her honor for herself. This love also rejoices in what is true and right, not what is false. This is the kind of love that cares about God's truth and will always stand on the side of God's word. This is not a love that is based on what the world around you is thinking or doing. It's not based on the lies and false narratives that we find in the world or maybe even think of ourselves. This love always sides with God's truth and is extraordinarily glad to see others walking in the truth. It rejoices in the truth. This love also gives us the power to endure anything that comes our way, even to endure the most difficult of relationships. God's love in us gives us the power to be steadfast when faced with unforeseen circumstances and difficult relationships. This type of love is set on putting our faith and our hope in the promises of God so that we have the right mindset, so that we have the enduring love that we need for those who fail us or hurt us or come against us in some way. It reminds me of what Jesus said when we talked about love. Pray for those who to them. It's totally different, totally opposite of what we see in the world. God's love and power within us gives us strength to endure hardship. The hardship of children who have gone astray, to find hope even in the loss of a child, to believe that God's love will prevail even when we face all the issues that we face that stem from this living in this sinful, broken world. Love endures. Love gives us strength. This kind of love is powerful. In fact, God's love in place of us is eternal. Verse 8 says that it will never end. This is not a love that's going to quit on you. This is It's the love that continues on and on. And again, I'm reminded of a mother's love for her children. A mother who in Christ never stops loving her children. No matter what they've done, no matter what bad decisions they've made, she keeps on loving them. She keeps on caring for them. She wants to be their greatest advocate. No matter what they've done, she just keeps on loving. Because this love never ends. It also reminds me of the father, the story of the prodigal son, where the son goes away and lives his life and almost destroys his life, but in realizing his sin, he repents and comes back to his father. And his father, with open arms of extraordinary love and forgiveness, he just welcomes his wayward son back into the family. What an awesome, extraordinary love. But ultimately, this type of love reminds me of Christ. He is the perfect example of God. And we could actually replace the word love here in this passage in Jesus, and it would be all true of him. Jesus is patient and kind to us, although we don't deserve it. He continues to seek us out, even when our hearts are hard toward him. He gives us life instead of the death that we deserve. Jesus' love is not envious. It is not self-seeking. Remember, he left the glories of heaven to come down to earth for us. He laid aside some of his attributes in order to become like one of us in the flesh, so that he could be the perfect blood sacrifice for all the sins of the world. He loved us so much he laid down his own life for us on the cross. The penalty of our sin is death, and he paid the full price with his life. What a selfless, humble, sacrificial love is that? His love for us led him to bear all sorts of hardships on our account. He followed the hard road set before him by the Father, and with all hope in his endurance, he would free us from the bondage of sin. He followed through. He obeyed. His love for us never ends. With all authority and power, he's at the throne of God and he's interceding for you and I. Think about that. He's interceding for us. He's praying for you. He's giving us the help we need, the power we need, the peace, the hope, so that we can endure all that lies ahead. And in his enduring love for us, he will return and he will take us home. What an awesome example of this type of love. Unconditional, sacrificial. This is agape love. God's love in us has an extraordinarily, just a powerful impact on people's lives. It's like the missing thing that we don't see in the world. Because this is not a love that the world can manufacture. God reveals himself to the world through us. He changes the nature of our hearts, giving us his characteristic of love. And that changes everything in our lives. We start out a different perspective. We look at things in our life from a different way because our love is the driving motive, it's the driving force in all that we do. Think about that. Changes the nature of our hearts. Changes the way we think about God. It changes the way we think about others. It influences all of our decisions and actions. When we extend this kind of love to our children, to our brothers and sisters in Christ, to those who don't know Christ, the impact of this God's love in us, is life-altering. It's life-altering. It changes everything. It's what made Jesus so different from everyone else. When no one else would go to the people, Jesus went to them. No matter how bad their sin was, he loved them. His love was so extraordinarily different from everything else they saw in the world. It was full of grace and mercy and truth. It was full of compassion and just humility. It was a selfless love. It was not self-seeking. It was all about seeking and saving those who are lost. It's what made him so different. It's what should make us so different from everyone else. Are we truly driven by a motive of love when we interact with others? by that. And if we're truly driven by that, others are going to see and feel and experience a powerful impact in their lives. It makes the gospel believable. It reveals the power and glory of God to people because it's something they've never seen or experienced. It's why building relationships with people is so important. And I'm not talking about social media relationships. I'm talking about face-to-face, life-on-life relationships where people can see firsthand the love of Christ in us. It's displayed for them in our lives. It's shown in our responses, our facial expressions, everything. They can see the love of Christ in us. We wonder how different it is to be on social media. Right? Be on Zoom and not be able to see clearly. And it's all sometimes goes in and out. Having a real relationship. Where things used to be. Or we had to make a real face-to-face relationship. We had to respond to people. We had to talk with people. We had to listen to people. We had to see this love of Christ on our faces and in our lives and our responses. This is part of how part of what God uses to reveal himself to the world. Think about this passage from 2 Corinthians 5:20. I love this. It's one of my favorites. It says, we, God's children, we are ambassadors for Christ. God making his appeal through us. God making his appeal through us. Is that not amazing? Isn't that why he transforms us into the likeness? Isn't that why he gives us of his nature of love so that people can see the changing power of the gospel? We represent Christ to the world. Therefore, we should be people who love and see him. He is revealing himself to the world through us. What a powerful statement. What a powerful example we can be. By abiding, spending time with the Lord, allowing him to change the nature of our hearts so that we start to reveal and express and people start to see the love of God in us. A love that is selfless, right? That is patient and kind, does not envy or boast, and does not insist on its own way, right? A love that doesn't rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. It is a love that never ends. Because when we look out at the world and we see people who are broken, for whatever reason, whatever past they have, we realize and we understand that their future is very bleak. We know the judgment that is coming to the wind. So out of the love that God had for us when he just sacrificed himself on the cross. Because he loved us, even in our sin, he loved us. We should have the same understanding and the same heart of love and compassion for those people. We're the ones who God uses to reveal to himself. And it should be a picture. As the worship team comes, are you ready to allow God to change the nature of your heart? Because that's what it's all about. Jesus always brings us. He always talks about it. He always talks about it. Because the heart is really the issue. Out of that, the heart speaks, right? Out of the heart, the mouth speaks. It's always about the heart. Are you ready to allow God to fuel your heart with the God that you love? Are you willing to make room for God to do what he needs to do in your heart? Are you ready to take time to evaluate the motives, the true motives of your heart? May this be a time of surrender for us. May we be a people characterized by God's love. May the driving force in all that we do, every ministry, all of our work and blame, our job, everything that we do, may it be that God's love is a driving force in that. Make room this morning. Allow God to have his way in your heart. Allow him to do what's necessary in you to change the nature of your heart. Just allow
Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you right now, Heavenly Father, and lay our hearts and minds and our agendas before you, Father. We surrender. We ask, Lord, that you would have your way. Your way is in hand. Father, when you look around us in this world, there's nothing greater than your love. Your way is all in you. To respond to even our enemies with love. Your way is all in you. Your powerful love